Summer is officially here. Thanks be to God. First day of summer was Friday, so it was the first official weekend of summer. My favorite time of year, yay! One of my favorite guests is Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, and she joins us about once a month for her Mom's Corner segment. And we are so excited. When I was in Pennsylvania last week, Donna emailed me and said, check this out! And Donna wrote a story about the Congress in Rome that we both attended as delegates. And one of her beautiful pictures that she submitted to Heidi Hess Saxton, who's the editor of Canticle Magazine, Donna Marie, it ended up on the cover. How fun!
Yeah.
How are you?
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
How exciting. Summer, too, my favorite time.
Yes.
So that's why I figured we'd talk a little bit about summer. I knew you were so busy last week with the theology of the body, and I heard your excitement this morning discussing it, and that's just wonderful, following up Rome and just so much good information. So, but yes, the thing about the magazine, and if anybody wants to get this month's Canticle, you can get the information from my blogs, and I did write a story about the Vatican experience and about Mulieris Dignitatum and some issues for women, and Teresa and I happened to be on the cover with Cardinal Relko, the president of the Pontifical Council for the Laity. But speaking about summer, actually, just real quickly about the theology of the body, Catholic Exchange now has a new channel, in case you didn't know, on the theology of the body.
Yeah.
And I posted an article by Christopher West on my blog, and also my friend, Father James Farfaglia in Texas, he's a pastor of a parish down there, is one of their columnists as well. So you can check out Catholic Exchange. I'm sure Teresa, well, I'm giving you a little shot in the arm here, she'll probably submit an article to that channel as well.
Yeah, as if I can just summarize, it's hard to summarize though because there's so much to draw from.
So oh,
I think
so
I'm,
much
yeah,
to do.
I'm
yeah,
kind of like hours. Letting it marinate or, you know, still kind of reflecting, just and still unpacking Rome. I know you are too.
Oh, yeah, there's just so much. But, you know, it will unfold as God wants it to and as, you know, day by day. But just the thought of summer, Teresa, could bring thoughts of rest and relaxation to mind. I don't know what that is, but I'm just, for the most part, for most people, you know, we may recall the lazy days of summer during our youth, or it might even mean anticipated excitement and adventure, exploring new places and trying new things. And so, but for some families, the slower pace and, you know, school is out, homeschooling is over, less rigid routines and schedules. So the adjustment might even be a little stressful to some households. And so I wanted to speak just a little bit about, you know, just the change of summer. You know, people want to slip into that summer mode, but let's not forget about the prayer, you know. And there's a few tips and a little bit of advice that I can put forth for the moms and dads, you know, who want to make sure to keep that prayer in summer.
No, because sometimes we treat the whole season as a vacation, which is good in terms of relaxation, but bad if we think we have to take a vacation from God, which we never should.
Exactly. So just that transitional part might be a little hectic, you know, because it's just, I have a whole household here now. My daughter just arrived home from Ireland the other night, and I had another, my son back from college, and I have another daughter who's in college writing a thesis right now, but she'll be bopping back and forth on the weekends, and I've got a house full, and then friends and, you know, everybody running in and out. So it's a kind of a schedule that's looser than your normal schedule, so you want to make sure you start with prayer in the morning, and it seems like a no-brainer, really. I wrote an article about this. It's on my blogs, and it's in the Irish Family Press, so an article, actually a newspaper over in Ireland, Keeping Prayer in Summer, a Mother's Strategy. And it may seem like a no-brainer, you know, start each day with prayer. Well, of course, every praying person is going to think of that, but you know, you get up and it's, you know, you're getting ready to go to the beach or summer outing, or the kids are running around excited or different, you know, a whole different schedule. So if we can just my same philosophy, just to get on your knees as soon as you face the new day and give it over to the Lord and teach your kids to do the same. And this can be done even at the breakfast table. So you've got your captive audience right there, you know, waiting to eat, and you say your grace and just, you know, fit in a few prayers for the day and for protection and for all the people on your prayer list that you've been praying for, you know, another opportunity to ask our Lord to take care of them and the Blessed Mother to, you know, keep you under her mantle. So here we begin the day with prayer, and try to, as you go throughout the day, teach the kids to use some time, you know, prayerfully. You know, have fun and be joyful. It's a great time to try to kick back a little bit. But, you know, let's not forget to pray and keep
close. The other thing, too, about summertime is it's a great time to point out God's glory in creation. Because everything's so green and so lush and so full. And we even talked about that, you know, in Theology of the Body last week, how all creation glorifies God.
Mm.
You know, looking out the window, pointing to a beautiful tree, you know, that tree is glorifying God. And a lot of people, as you said, spend time at the beach.
Yes.
You're at the lakes. I mean, water is just so Catholic and so sacramental.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many examples you can draw from in nature.
And everything becomes a teachable moment,
right.
You know, especially with children. So, like, when you're out, if you do have that opportunity, you know, to go away and to plan that paradise vacation that some people are able to do, or if you're, you know, going to stay close to home and do your day trips and some fun spots, the local library even has lots of nice programs for kids and parks and recreation centers. Wherever you go, you know, can become, a teachable moment as you're admiring the things around you or seeing the people milling around and maybe praying for everyone you come in contact with. You know, teach your kids. You know, you see the homeless or you see whoever you come in contact with. You know that God is in control and he's put them in your midst. So everything can be opportunities for prayer.
I like what you said in this article about when you make plans for your trips that think about including shrines, basilicas, and holy places and incorporate them into the trips. What a great idea.
Yeah, and there's so many ways, you know, places you can. Our Sunday Visitor is really great about having pieces in their newspaper that have shrines and holy places. And there are so many more. You can look on the Internet. You can look in some of the magazines, Canticle, I'm sure Faith and Family, and some of the family magazines have a nice listing of places that we can go or try to plan our vacation around something like that and make it part pilgrimage, part vacation.
You know, that's true. Last summer, I don't know if I told you about this, but we had such a nice day. Friends of ours at an auction for a crisis pregnancy center won a one-day trip on a boat, like a sailboat, you know, because we have water all around us here in Michigan. And so they invited two other couples. And so the six of us went, and we started the day out. It was a Sunday, and it was a really, really hot day in July. It was just the perfect summer day for sailing.
Oh.
And we went to the beautiful, beautiful church in Detroit that I'd never been to before. It was just one of those gems, one of those older, you know, parishes. And Donna, the artwork and the statues in this church, it was like a pilgrimage just going to Mass there.
Wow.
And then we went out and, of course, sailed on the Detroit River in Lake St. Clair. What a glorious day. You know,
wow,
and what a great thing, though, kind of tying in what you said, you know, just a one-day excursion, and we felt like we were away for a month.
Wow, that's great. I know, sometimes just that little chance to get away, even if you can't get away, like this summer, perhaps finances are a little tight or the schedule is kind of packed with other obligations and you can't really get away, but just little getaways, you know, just little local things can really refresh your mind and heart and soul. And I think, you know, that's an important thing, to get that nourishment and refreshment. And the saints have spoken about it too. So just like you said, that one day seemed like it was, you know, a long time out, and that's where we get our little refreshment. And we can, you know, pray throughout it. But, you know, Teresa, speaking of church, you were just mentioning that you had gone to the Mass there.
Mm-hmm.
One of my pet peeves, and I know this could make some people maybe a little annoyed, and I hope it won't. I'm sure your listeners won't be, but some people can. One of my pet peeves is going to church and seeing people like they're dressed for the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even if you're on vacation, why don't you bring a wrap or a sweater, or usually it's pretty air-conditioned in the church anyway, or, you know, change your clothes before you go to church and be respectful. And that's one thing I think we really need to be mindful of is, okay, it's summer, and maybe you're wearing less clothes because you're wearing shorts or you know what I mean? But let's be modest, and let's be respectful of our Lord. We're going to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We're not going to on a picnic. So I know I might sound a little overbearing, but I think it needs to be said, because even in a regular, you know, regular parishes, even when we're not on vacation, I see this quite a bit, where people will go with very low backless clothes, or the parents will allow the teens to wear these micro short skirts or tight shorts and tight tops, tank tops. And it's just a shame that we haven't taught them that purity and modesty are a beautiful part of our femininity, you know. And even in the catechism, there's a little, I don't know if we have time for a little quote from the catechism. Okay, well, number 2521, purity requires modesty, an integral part of temperance. Modesty protects the intimate center of the person. It means refusing to unveil what should remain hidden. It is ordered to chastity, to whose sensitivity it bears witness. It guides how one looks at others and behaves toward them in conformity with the dignity of persons and their solidarity. Modesty protects the mystery of persons and their love. It encourages patience and moderation in loving relationships. I'm sure this even came up in the theology of the body.
I was just going to say, the dignity of the person and the veiling, it's all theology of the body.
Yeah. It requires that the conditions for the definitive giving and commitment of man and woman to one another be fulfilled. Modesty is decency. It inspires one's choice of clothing. This is what we have to teach our children, our young tweens and teens. It keeps silence or reserve where there is evident risk of unhealthy curiosity. It is discreet. There is a modesty of the feelings as well as of the body. It protests, for example, against the voyeurism, explorations of the human body in certain advertisements, or against the solicitations of certain media that go too far in the exhibition of intimate things. We see this all over the place.
Right.
I jokingly put my hands over my husband's eyes when these Victoria's Secret commercials come on TV, which I think is, excuse me, everyone out there, but it's more of a soft porn than anything else. I'm sorry. But
no, it is. I don't think you need to apologize. It's very true. That's the truth. Yeah.
And
yeah.
To finish the quote, modesty inspires a way of life which makes it possible to resist the allurements of fashion and the pressures of prevailing ideologies. And then it just says, the forms taken by modesty vary from one culture to another, as we know. Mm-hmm. Everywhere, however, modesty exists as an intuition of the spiritual dignity proper to man. It is born with the awakening consciousness of being a subject. Teaching modesty to children and adolescents means awakening in them respect for the human person.
There you go. So, the body again.
Again, here we go. And so, you know, let's be mindful of that. And it's hard because the kids, they have the culture they're facing, and they're targeted. They're targeted with the fashion and everything else. But as Catholic and Christian parents, what do we have to do? We have to set the parameters. We can't just, you know, let our guards down and just, oh, well, you know, and go and succumb to the pressure when we're going out to the malls or wherever we're buying the clothes for the children, you know.
Right. It doesn't mean you can't dress well or stylish, but modesty has to be, you know, included. And I think some of the key words that pop out, the veiling, the dignity, you know, and what that prevents when you dress appropriately, according to what the Church expresses there. And what number was that? What paragraph number again?
Let me see again. It's 2521 up to 2524.
Okay.
We have such a richness in our catechism.
Absolutely.
And you can find everything in there.
And it prevents that you know, sinful feeling of lust when you dress appropriately.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
And
that's the problem. It's not that the body is bad, but it's sometimes the way it's exposed is improper and degrades a person's dignity.
Exactly, and it guides the way you look at others as well. So the problem is we have the world and the culture, you know, dressing a certain way, and we seem to be up against so much, and it's hard to be the one that sort of stands out in our beliefs, like our young children I'm speaking about, and in their beliefs of, you know, being a little more modest, but yet they could be the ones setting the example.
Yep, absolutely. And real quick, we've got about a minute left on, it's about 34 minutes past the hour, and we have to break for our affiliates at 35, but I wanted to lead people to the article that you wrote on summer and keeping prayer and holiness in the summertime. And is that on your web blog?
Website? I have a website and three blogs, but it's easiest just to give the website, www.DonnaCooper, OBOYLE.com. From there, you can get to my three blogs, which one is about motherhood, embracing motherhood, one is Daily Donna Marie, and one is a saint's blog. So, also have some exciting news. I have two more books coming out this fall for mothers.
Oh, for crying out loud. What is this, like book number 10?
I'll be quiet. I'll be quiet, Teresa. But anyway, yeah. I'll let you, you can be...
you know what? We've got 20 seconds left. I want to, we'll promote your books the next time you're on, because they're really good.
Have a fun summer and just stay prayerful, stay joyful, and just, you know, be happy and spread your example around with your prayer.
All right. Amen. Hang on 1 second during the break. I'll chat with you. Donna Marie Cooper-O'Boyle, of course, her website, DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com, for more information on our upcoming, 11th, 12th book. Anyway, she's a great writer, and I love her new prayer book. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. Meg Meeker. Stay tuned.